Righteous Father, as we do bow here tonight, we do thank you, God, for breath tonight, that we can come here and just set under your word tonight, Lord. We pray that as Brother Abner shares your word, that we would open up our hearts, God, that if there's anything in our lives that we need to be changed, anything that we need to be directed another route, Lord, that we'd pray, we'd open up our hearts. We'd have fertile hearts tonight, God, that you could do a work in us. We pray for Brother Abner as he shares, that you would bless him, give him words to share, give him boldness to share, Lord, the word of God, that you just anoint his tongue, anoint his heart, Lord, anoint his lips tonight, that he would preach the word of God accordingly what you have for him to preach. So we just want to commit him to you and just say thank you for all of your blessings that you bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening, and God's blessing. Woo! I don't know about your harness here, but when I walked into the church house tonight, I was sort of surprised that you're such a backwards church. I always thought when you go for a meal, you sit up front first, then you fill the back. But this evening, I notice you fill the back first, and that's sort of hinash farash, isn't it? Sort of backwards. But then again, customs aren't all the same. I greet you in the name of Jesus tonight. The one who made something like we experience today possible. I'm having problems with my throat, so I hope it'll go all right tonight. You pray for me. May we lift up the Lord in all his greatness and all his goodness. And I want to say, I want to say this. It's been a while that I've been here, and I missed you people here in Allen County. I missed you often I think of you. And it's just been a real pleasure to be here again today. I don't do very well at remembering names, but I remember faces. So if I look at you with recognition, don't expect me to say the name, but it's a blessing to be here. I'd like to talk on something. I didn't know exactly how I would title this message, but you know, the Bible directs us in a lot of different ways about keeping something. It tells us in Hosea, keep mercy and judgment. In Micah, it tells us, keep the doors of thy mouth. In John 14:15, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In John 14:23, keep my words. In Ephesians 4:3, keep the unity of the Spirit. And in Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God. Revelations 1:3, blessed is he, and they that keep those things which are written therein. Now, we don't need to do a lot of exhortation tonight to tell us to keep things. I'm a pack rat. You know what that is? My wife and I had sale here in April, and I couldn't believe the stuff they dug out that I kept. I don't know. I know some people, my wife is one of them, that is very good at saying, well, this we might as well not keep. But I'm not one of those. I'm always afraid maybe I want it again. A piece of 2x4, a piece of plywood, some kind of tool I'll probably never use again. But I might. Now, I'd like to talk to you tonight, and here's my title. Keep your heart with all diligence. I believe it's one of the greatest things in life. For out of it are the issues of life. That's what Proverbs tells us. Keep your heart with all diligence. You know, the heart is a strange thing. We think the heart is what keeps the body going, and I believe it is. But I believe that the heart in the spiritual life is the inner seat of the man. And the Bible speaks much of the heart. Keep it with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because the heart determines the character. For as he thinketh, that's what the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you can say, I can say what I want to, but what I'm thinking in my heart, you know, as I studied this message, I didn't much care for that. As I think in my heart, so am I. Yes. We try to fool people and think our heart is different than what we're thinking in the heart. But Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And then in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. You know, it's very easy to try to make people believe certain things. But if we understand that from our heart comes the things that are in us, then it would behoove us to try to get some things changed sometimes. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 tells us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now I'd like tonight to use sort of a, I don't know what you would call it, a likeness, maybe just a likeness. If I was a better drawer, I'd probably draw something on the board. But I'd like to speak tonight, if we would compare our heart with some of the ancient cities out of whose gates multitude of warriors marched, if we would compare our heart to that, as was the city, so were her armies. As was her inward strength, so were they which came forth from her. Let's look at our heart that way. What is in our heart and that which comes forth. And let the chief fortress surrender to the enemy, and the occupation of the rest is one easy task once that is done. Now, I noticed something in driving out here to Indiana, and I don't want to do what I did here when I was in Bern some time ago. My wife and I were driving out here, and my wife said, they don't even have any nice trees in Indiana. And the rest of the week, they tried to prove to me in Bern that they do. Well, I sort of finally gave in, said they do somewhat. But I noticed something in driving out here yesterday that sort of fascinated me. And I'd like to ask you this question. Maybe you can answer it. But why do you, Western Ohio and Indiana people, whenever you build highways and you build a road over the highway, why do you have to dig those terrible, ugly water holes. Somebody tell me. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. Pardon? Can't hear very good. That's exactly right. They need the dirt. I'm going to talk about reservoirs tonight. And I'm going to liken our hearts to a reservoir. And I saw some nice lakes. But I realized that they were there for a purpose. They were there so they'd have enough of dirt to make the highway. I'm sorry you people don't have nice mountains. We don't have to dig holes. We just take the top of the hill off. But I understood the ingenuity of that thing. And it made me think. And tonight I'd like to speak about the reservoir that I call our heart. And you know, reservoirs have many pipes that take the water to different places. You have a reservoir in a city, and there's pipes take it out to different places. The heart is the reservoir of man. And I believe that's why the writer of Proverbs says, keep it. Because once you allow a city's reservoir to become a putrid, terrible thing, the city is doomed. And so the Bible teaches us to keep that reservoir with all diligence, that life may flow through these different pipes out to the mouth, the hand, the eye, our actions. But all these derive their source from where? From a great fountain and central reservoir, the heart. That's where they come from. You say, Abner, my feet don't. Oh, but they do. Because you see your feet move in the direction that your heart wants to tell you to go. And so the hands, the mouth, all of these things have a connection to that which flows from the reservoir. And so there's no difficulty in seeing the necessity of keeping this reservoir in a pure state. The heart in its proper state and condition, because if we don't do that which flows through the pipes is also foul and corrupted. Now a moralist, he may think and may forget that the heart of reservoir, he often forgets the heart of the reservoir and thinks a better environment would change a person. Put him in some new place. It may help in certain extent, but it's not going to change it. Others say, well, we need to educate him. We need to teach him. This is like putting a shut-off valve in the lines. You shut the water off, but the water may be off, but it loses the whole benefit of what water is for. Now another one may say, well, if we would put in a new kind of pump to force the water, then all will be well. And so a complex system of pipes and pumps is put in and to force the water through the pipes that are almost clothed with debris. And you know, that's what's happening in many, many churches where laws and things are put into shape to try to get that reservoir to produce something that produces a person of purity. It can't be done. It doesn't work. They tried it with me, and it didn't work. Because my reservoir was polluted. And so that system is not the best. Then again, we can think that we will take the water in the pipe and let it fall down over some rocks or something so that it cleans it into a beautiful fountain and letting it spray up in the air like you see in some cities. And that's going to change But if it comes from the same unchanged reservoir, it is still the same contaminants and vile water. Some people think that they can have some spiritual high emotional happening, some mountaintop experience once or twice a month or a week, but it never changes the heart. It just stays the same way. Now you may say, Abner, that's so discouraging. I'm not done. I'm not going to preach a couple hours, but I want to tell you something tonight. There's hope for that reservoir. But too many times we try to do it our way. And we think with human reasoning. Now let's look at that reservoir in our heart. How do we keep it with all diligence? It is important, for out of it are the issues of life. I remember so well the preachers that came to help my wife and I when we were a young couple, and I could not understand of something coming into my heart and changing me. I thought I had to do it myself. And all that God wants is to admit we can't. So how do we keep our heart with all diligence? We know that water is the most essential things of life. And to have a healthy life, the water needs to be pure and good in the reservoir. A town with no water or foul and vile water will die. That town will die. That is why you see signs telling you along the road that this watershed is for so and so. Don't spill something, because it'll affect our reservoir. Do you put that into your life, into my life, and see how that affects the life of the person if the water that's coming into the reservoir is not pure? Do you understand, my dear people, why a lot of these modern tech things are no good for our heart? Because it's a taste, it's a vileness, and it corrupts and takes away the purity of the person. And I believe it's one of those things that we have to face. You who love the Lord, if you want to keep the streams of your life happy and healthy for yourself and beneficial to others, there are things that we need to do. And I'd like to go through that. What I feel, what I know that has helped me to keep that heart of yours. No matter how pure and how clean the reservoir is, it is not possible to supply the town unless it is full. Did you hear me? You need a full heart, not a partial, empty heart. I was really helped in this message by, and I'll just be simple enough to tell you, I have rabbits at home. And I put a tank up above their cages, got quite a few cages. And I put a pipe from this tank down to every one of the cages. And I thought this thing works real good. And it does. But I failed to put my lid on the top of my tank. And I don't know where it came from, but dirt settled into the tank. And then the dirt comes down to those little bunny valves and sticks. And I see, that's not going to work. I'm going to have to keep my tank clean. And I thought of that in our heart. If those little debris, those little pieces of whatever it may be, gets in the way, something is going to happen that's not pleasant. And I believe that I need to keep that tank full so it doesn't come down where it's empty and there's some things in there. You know, things that are not the best. And I'd like to say this. You and I know that we are often people like that. That we meet people that are just empty. They're just dry. There's just no pressure. Why? Because their heart is not full. Let me ask you a question this evening. Are you a happy child of God? Are you a happy child of God? I believe one of the greatest problems with winning souls for Christ is the stoic, miserable-looking Christians in this world. May I say Christians? I believe, dearly beloved, that we ought to be the happiest people alive. We want to be exuberant. There was an old bishop. I loved that man. He doesn't live anymore. He came from Bluntstown, Florida. And somebody told me one time, Abner, did you ever meet this man? Told me his name. I said, no. He said, if you ever meet him, you'll not forget him. And he was right. I said, so what's so wonderful about this man? He says he's always happy. He said when he preaches, he jumps high, but he always lands square. That's been my model ever since. I don't want to jump high, but yeah, I do. Would to God some of us Christians would get up and move a little. You need your heart full to running over. We have a gospel. We have a truth, dearly beloved, that is the answer for everything in this world and in this life and life to come. We have the answer. You say, you sound proud. Well, I'm not proud of what I am, but I'm proud of the answer. And I don't think that's, as somebody said to me one time, Abner, you're too proud of your daughters. And I said, you mean I can't be? Well, I'd like to tell you this. You can be proud of Jesus Christ because he has paved the way for us. He has made the way. And I say one of the things is to keep your reservoir full. It is the emptiness of heart that makes men so feeble. Just know, how was your Sunday? Well, I guess all right. That's Christians. They ought to be jumping up and down and saying, praise the Lord, I got a new look at Christ. Or the Holy Spirit visit us. You say, you're charismatic. Well, then we better get a little more charismatic. I think it's time that God's people fill their hearts up with the love of God that it radiates out. It's not just a lack of knowledge in his head, but an emptiness of my heart that causes me those problems. A full-hearted man is a powerful man, whether he's good or bad. Do you ever think about that? A full-hearted man, though he may not be the best man, there's still something about him if he's full-hearted. But an empty-hearted man is like a cardboard box with nothing in it. Let a man have a good head, but give me a man with a full heart. Give me a man with a full heart. The service pipe will give out plenty of water if the heart is full. Maybe you don't love your work. Maybe you don't like your work. Strive to love your work and your heart will be full. I've heard a man say one time that had a pallet shop, good friend of mine. He said, Abner, if you pay a man enough, he'll love his work. I said, I don't agree. And I don't believe. People will work for the love of money, but not the love of the work. But I do believe this. I believe that in many of our occupations, there's no benefit in thinking how you don't like it. Love your work. You say, not love. Well, anyway, like it then. But I believe it's necessary for us to realize that with a full heart, things in this life look completely different than they do to an empty heart. Oh, for the heart that is full and deep and broad. How can we keep our hearts full? David said in Psalm 87, verse 7, I like this. All my springs are in my God. That's how you keep it full. All my springs. If you will find all of your springs in God, your reservoir will be full. The spring down at Calvary will fill you with love and thanksgiving. In your secret closet, your heart will be full of calmness and peace. If we go out with Jesus and look over Jerusalem and weep over it with him, our heart will become full of love for never dying souls. My wife and I just came back from Haiti a few weeks ago. We weren't more than home about 2-3 days when that tremendous hurricane came through there. And my heart went out to those people. When I realized how that we here in the States, many of us, and I'm not knocking it, but many of us are out there busy building mini barns to put our extras in. And over there, they don't have any extras. They don't even have necessities. And what they have to hold them in is never a mini barn like we build. It's just a shackled hut. And I thought of that. What does it take to give us a heart that's full of compassion? What does it take? Sometimes it's a good idea just to go to some of those places and look around and see. It's not my fault that I was born in Lancaster County. Neither am I to be praised about it because I had nothing to do with it. I was just born there. And so it's the same way with some of those people in some of those countries. They can't help they were born there. They can't even help that the country is in such a debauchery because they happen to be there. And I'd like to say that if our hearts, oh, for a heart that is full and deep and broad, if we would only draw more of our own impulse and our whole being from the Holy Spirit, there need not be a fear of having a dry heart. You know, I really believe this, brethren and sisters. Let me say something. We, a lot of us, come from what we call a Mennonite, an Amish background. And I believe that we don't realize how much the Holy Spirit longs to guide our life and walk with us every day. We sort of feel too often that we could do it without him. Oh, we wouldn't say that. But I don't believe we realize how the Holy Spirit longs to fill our heart with his beauty, to make it full. Keep thy heart with all diligence and entreat the Holy Spirit to keep it full, or the issues of life will be feeble, shallow, and superficial. Now I'd like to talk a little bit on keeping our reservoir pure. You don't want eels and frogs. I worked for an Amishman when I was a young boy, and he had a big water tank up in his upper story in the barn. Big tank. And I never thought about it while I worked for him. But one day we noticed that this water is not very good. Something was wrong with it. We didn't know what it was. And then my young boss, he was a younger man, and I went up to the barn and we started checking around. Now, I don't want to gross anyone out, but we found out that the rats had chewed through a plywood, and in this they fell into the reservoir, and there was dead rats floating around where we drank our water. And I got terrible upset about it. But you see, a reservoir is just like our heart. It takes maintenance. It takes checking up. Don't you expect to let the rats dig around in your heart. I'm just saying rats. Dig around in your heart and not finally make a hole and get in. Brethren and sisters, dearly beloved, we have a world that's filled with filth. We have it in the top offices of our country, I'm sorry to say. Now we could get into it. No, we couldn't, because I don't know much about it. But we have an election coming up. And somebody said to me, when are you going to vote? I said, when Jesus Christ is on the ballot. And I haven't seen him on there yet. I don't know what to say about what we're having. But I say this. Unless we keep our heart pure and clean, it doesn't matter who we get as president, we'll get whom we deserve. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not a voter. I don't intend to ever do that. I'm not going to charge you one way or the other. But I stand with Christ. What Christ decides when our election, I'm going to be happy. Well, I think so. I want to be. I want to accept it. But there's a lot of pollution in high places today. And I wonder if we could just try to keep our hands away from those things and remain pure. Keep your heart with all diligence and stay pure. The reservoir should be kept pure and clean. And unless its water comes from a pure spring, it will be contaminated. Books. The news media. Listen, I'm not against us being educated to some extent. But a lot of these things have a way of polluting our heart. And then we wonder, why do we have thoughts like this during the day? Why are we running into corners again and again? We need to keep our heart pure the same way as we do the reservoir. If our heart is not pure, we cannot see God. Do you know that? I remember years ago hearing a story about a Russian cosmonaut that had gone up wherever they went to, the moon or whatever, I'm not sure anymore. And then he came back and he traveled around some of the Russian schools. And he made a mockery out of the Christian belief, or thought he did. He said, you know, students, I was way up there and I looked all around and I didn't see a God. There was none up there. Then a little girl raised her hand in the class and she said, may I say something? Ask you something? He said, sure, go ahead. She said, are you pure in heart? Because she said, the Bible says, the pure in heart shall see God. I like that. If you want to see God, keep your reservoir. Keep it pure. And watch what you do with your time. If our heart is not pure, out will come through our mouth, through our hands, through our feet, the pipes from the reservoir. There will come out of that uncleanness. In this we see again that some have shut off valves, but the water is still not made pure. Look at Romans chapter 1, if you want to take the time. Chapter 1. Not only do the same, it says in Romans 1:32, but have pleasure in them that do them. And oh, my beloved people, if something the world needs today, it's pure hearts. Pure hearts. What a blessing you can be to the worldling if your heart is pure. In Exodus chapter 15, in Exodus chapter 15, verses 23, 24, 25, I'm not going, well, I think maybe I'll turn to that. I'd like to read those verses Exodus chapter 15, verse 23, 24, and 25. I'll just read those because I'd like us to see something that to me is so beautiful when I think of about an unpure heart and what we can do. 15. Wait, where am I at here? Yes, 23, 24, and 25. I'm going to start reading that. And when they came, the children of Israel came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah. For why? Because they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried out. Moses cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Oh, I love that. Our God cast a tree, a cross, if you please. He cast a cross to make the water sweet. And that is the only thing that'll make the waters sweet. I like the way it says it here. How it tells us here. It says a tree which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a stature and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Dearly beloved, the Lord our God has made a cross that sweetens the heart. I don't understand everything about the cross. I have longed to be able to explain the cross even to myself. I don't quite understand it, but there's a beauty in that I will not give up. Paul said the cross preaching is foolishness to some people. But he said it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ is the heart. In the heart is the purifier. Jesus Christ in the heart. How does he do it? I can't tell you how I did it in you. But I know how he worked in me. Vile as my heart was. Little by little. He didn't do like I would if I was God. I'm just meditating on a message. Right now, I don't know when I'll preach it or where, but I do that. I meditate on messages and finally they sort of come together. But I meditated on the title. And my title to that message will probably be, "I Don't Agree with God." Now you may say, "Whoa!" But that's my honest title. I don't agree with God, but I believe him. And I believe what he does is right. And what I don't agree with is wrong if it's against what God does. You say, "Well, why don't you agree with him?" Well, some things just don't make sense. But they don't have to. I believe him. I preached a message one time on the difference between God and I. I have one son. And the way I understand the Bible, God had one son. My son was born in Harrisburg Polyclinic Hospital, one of the nicest hospitals in the capital of Pennsylvania. I wouldn't have, if I'd have been God, and I could have done what I wanted to as God could, I'd have never left him be built in a stable. That's just an idea where that message went. I believe, dearly beloved, that our God is so much higher and his thoughts so much greater. We don't understand it. But do you believe him? You say, "But how can I?" That's why I say I don't agree with God, but I believe him. I believe him. And I believe his way is the best. And yes, you say, "Well, down to the end of it, then you really agree with him." I have to say, yes, I do. But it's not quite what I would have done because of the carnalness in me. Now, let's go on a little bit yet. Jesus Christ, I said, is the heart of that purifier in the heart. If you If your water company has a large reservoir and the water is pure and full, they need to watch their reservoir. And here I like to preach another message. If your heart is pure, you need to keep watch on it. You need to keep watch. You say, well, my heart is poor. Then you dawdle down the road and get into all kinds of sloppy things. You can't do that. If your heart is pure, you need to keep watch because Satan would love to throw some dirt in your reservoir. Sometimes you meet people that remind you of a glass that somebody with tobacco lips and whatnot drank out of, and some trickled down into the glass, and you hold the glass up and it looks yucky. Sometimes people's hearts are that way. And we need to keep watch lest our heart be caught in those very things. And I'm not talking necessarily about tobacco. Here's something that I believe we need to be careful about our heart. Never let your heart develop a critical attitude. I believe that's something that can divide and split a church and spoil young Christians more than we ever realize, and that's a critical attitude. Just all the time picking on where you think it's not going to work. Well, it'll never work. Oh, I don't think this will do. No, everything is bad. Don't be like that. Your reservoir is messed up. You need to get it cleansed. Now, there's something like being honest and taking God's word and presenting brethren and sisters with God's word or your own heart. There is. But that critical attitude, just never satisfied unless you've got some argument going in the church or in the family or with the children. Oh, fathers, I love the church. I love the church here. You have so many children. And it's so encouraging. But never let criticalness be what corrects your children. It's like a storm coming over and blowing over your reservoir. And when our heart is stormy, how can we realize God's commandment when he says, new commandment, when he says that ye love one another? When your heart is stormy. Enlarge your heart so that when you meet a man who is in the need of love, he only needs to turn to you and turn open a tap or the Dutch word, I guess it's a spigot. Just open the spigot and out of your loving, peaceful heart will begin to flow issues of true, fervent, walking, living love. When I was an unconverted young Amish man, I had a man working for me. And that, I was a manager. He didn't necessarily work for me as the owner. But that man now had the sweetest spirit. And it was through his influence that I stand before you tonight. That sweet spirit. He never charged me foolishly, but he corrected me kindly. And to me, looking back, I realized that his heart was pure. Mine wasn't. But he saw a heart that needed purifying. And he knew what would purify it. And I praise God. He doesn't live anymore. But I praise God for that man. Because I believe that's why I stand here tonight. How do you get this peaceful heart in the storms of life? Abner, you don't know what we go through. You don't know what we're dealing with. You don't know. I know I don't. I don't, but I still believe that there's a purifier of hearts. I haven't gone through what a lot of people did. I haven't suffered in the hospital I have my dear wife with me after 55 some years. I have her here yet. I have three daughters that don't. They all lost their husbands. And I could sympathize with them, but not yet, not all together. And so, who am I to speak up here? Who am I to tell you how to do it? I can't do it, but I know someone who can. I know someone who has the answer. I know someone who knows how to take care of the aches and the hurts. When my daughter came out of the hospital room and ran up to me and put her arms around my neck and said, "Daddy, can't I believe the Bible?" Because her husband was draining his life away in the intensive care unit. What do you say? God knows best. Oh, we come up with smart answers, don't we? We have the answers. We lost three of our daughters' husbands. Three of our daughters lost their husbands. The oldest and the next one and the next one. At the funeral of the last one, we were sitting in a row. My next daughter's husband was sitting beside me. And the people were walking through in the viewing. And this young man came up to my son-in-law right beside me, married to our third daughter. Married to our fourth daughter. At the third daughter's husband's viewing. And I guess he didn't know what to say, so he just said, "Mark, I guess you're the next in line." Whew. But you know what Mark said? He knew the healer of hearts. He said, "Yes, but I'd do it all over again." And I believe with all my heart, dearly beloved, that God can make a way. No matter what we go through, He can make a way. I believe that. If I wouldn't, I'd give up. But I don't have to give up, because I know that He'll make a way. When you do not divide your heart. I talked about keeping purity in your heart. But I'd like to talk of one thing more yet, and that is, never lay pipes from your reservoir to try to supply different cities. Do not divide your heart. You cannot serve God and mammon. Too many times we like to run some of our heart this way and some heart this way. And I believe it's a good way to get your whole heart all messed up. Don't do that. When you do this, it's not enough water for both. Your reservoir is not big enough for both. A man like that, the church does not want him, and the world laughs at him. I've seen it too often, where the world will laugh at the professing Christian when he's out there dabbling in the things of the world. Don't divide your heart. Be one-minded. Singleness of mind, and especially in the use of your heart. Well, I think it's time to close. And I'd like to bless you here in Allen County before I sit down. But I also know that we need to know and realize what and how our hearts function. And to have a heart that is clean and pure and holy can only be accomplished by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ in His fullness and letting Him come in and clean out those unwanted apartments. You know, it's so easy for us to have apartments in our heart and rent them out to somebody else. And that's when Christ can come in and find all these polluted places. And Christ does not just clean a place up, but the Bible tells me He gives you and I a new heart. A new heart. What a blessing. Do you know Him? The Christ of the heart cleansing. and the reservoir building God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being attentive hearers. Let's stand and pray. Righteous eternal Father, cleanse our hearts tonight. Father, if there be evil ways in our heart, would you show it? I know, Lord, it's easy to get tangled up in things of this world. I know, Lord, it's easy just not to keep maintenance as we should by searching your heart, Father, to know our heart. To read your word, to be lifted up in prayer, to be guided by your spirit. Father, allow us, oh God, just to plea again tonight, one more time. Father, cleanse us, create in us a new heart. Out of it come the issues of life, and we want to keep it with all diligence. For your name's sake and your glory, in Christ I pray, amen. You may be seated. I'll turn the time back to the brethren.